This is Patrick Gracie for The Canopy Group. Your kids are back in school, and when they get home, they do their homework, or they're supposed to do their homework. Why don't you do your homework? You have been with that same home and auto insurance company that has only one agent who represents only one insurance company for years. You deserve options. Let's face it, your insurance needs change as the years go by. Insurance companies' rates certainly change as the years go by. That is why the Canopy Group provides you with 16 options, not one, 16. Don't tell your kids, but you can outsource your homework to the Canopy Group. They will teach you how they find the best insurance coverage for the best price, not only today, but each and every year. Contact the Canopy Group at 800-967-3389 or visit thecanopygroup.com and let them do the homework for you.
Always fun, crazy.
It's painful, but it's wonderful.
What is the name?
It's Royce Unchained.
Patrick Royce, what is going on this Monday?
Well, that was an interesting football weekend. I think we have two teams with potential here, but you don't need me to tell you that. When you look at the Gopher schedule, they can't lose for a month, can they? I mean, it's amazing. They get the Iowa in a month, right?
Yes. But
before
13th.
That, Maryland and Illinois here. And
Northwestern.
Northwestern, which is completely punchless.
Mm-hmm.
So they should go into that Iowa game basically tied with Iowa after Iowa's fiasco of losing. I think Iowa and Wisconsin play this week too, don't they? They play pretty quick.
That's very possible.
I think they play before the Gophers. So you got that going for you. And the Vikings, you know, my reaction to that, I said this on Twitter, the NFL is amazing. Because even when you outplay a team by 17 points, which they did, they kicked their ass, mm-hmm. right? You can still end up in overtime if something goofy happens. You know, if you get a punt blocked and then you let somebody some stiff, as the great Sid Hartman would say, some stiff complete a 50-yard pass
yep.
out of nowhere, you know, you can end up in overtime. And if you don't win the coin toss, you might get beat.
Yeah.
You know, you might get beat. I mean, when they won the coin toss, I had no doubt in my mind they were going to go down and score a touchdown.
Okay.
Because this whole one thing they did very well, I thought, was they let Cousins get out of the pocket, you know, so the Carolina pass rush couldn't find them, right?
Mm-hmm.
Plus, Carolina never blitzes, do they? Did they blitz at all?
Not a lot, no.
Not much. And they did whatever did what everybody does at the end of the game. They let them complete two 20-yard passes or make two 20-yard plays and get down there and kick a field goal that should have been in. But anyway, they win. Vikings, they win. Gophers win. But my concern today is baseball.
Okay.
And this is not specifically dealing with what happened last night, although those of us who watched Eddie Rosario for all those years were just thrilled by everything that took place, particularly the tag up from first base. You are two runs down in the eighth inning, and you get a little single to start the inning. They hit a routine fly ball to left, and you tag up and get to second. It's like, if he gets thrown out, everybody in the, I heard, who's on the post game MLB? I know this guy, but I can't place him. The black guy on the, and I think it's the MLB network okay. post game. And he's kind of new. And he's very, not Granderson. It's not Granderson.
Okay.
He's very glib. Maybe he's TBS, but the guy's great.
Jimmy Rollins on TBS?
No, not Jimmy Rollins. Not Jimmy Rollins. I don't know. It's a guy. It's
Granderson.
Okay. It wasn't that. It's a guy on MLB after the game.
Cliff Floyd?
Who?
Cliff Floyd?
No,
I think
he's
done some
there.
Work.
Cliff Floyd's on there. Yeah.
Yeah, but he's not.
I'm trying to think of
he's too. He's younger. This guy's
okay.
quit
okay.
playing like a year or two.
Oh, all right.
I don't know who the hell he is. But he's really good because he's true. He's real. He says he wouldn't have been able to go back to the dugout if he'd been out, you know, really. I mean, he said this is not a play that hardly anybody makes.
Right.
So I was thinking about it at 11:30 last night. I texted Paul Molitor, the greatest base runner the Twins have ever had, even though he was 38 when he got here. Right.
One of the greatest in baseball.
Yes. And I said, you know, kind of comically, what was your opinion of the tag of Eddie on the tag up? And 5 minutes later, I got a kind of a long response, you know, and part of it was, you know, he said, it's not like we haven't seen it before. It was his first one. But then he pointed out, he said, okay, it's a play, though, that everything was in front of him because of where the angle of the guy caught it. And you could tell, you could break off and go 40 feet and tell whether the throw was going to be online or offline. So there was an opportunity to retreat, he thought. Mm-hmm. He said there was a, you know, it was risky, but there was an opportunity to retreat if, indeed, Eddie had any intention of reading the throw. Yep. Or if he was just going hell-bent for other.
Right.
But two great quotes from him were, he says, he said, the risk and reward, Eddie's risk and reward computation is different than most everybody else. You know, in other words, Eddie thinks, I can get there.
You're right.
Not what the consequences right. are if he doesn't get there. And he said he's a no blink player, and it all came out up, and it all came up rosy. He said, you know, and but, you know, a lot of all around America, the baseball purists were probably surprised to see that play. But those of us in Minnesota said,
that's Eddie.
There he goes. Mm-hmm. It's one of those. Eddie, what the hell are you? Yay, Eddie.
It worked.
Yay, Eddie, it worked. But great game. Fun. Okay. When it's over, 3 hours and 56 minutes.
I looked it up after the game last
night. 3 hours and 56 minutes. And you and I have said it. The greatest problem in baseball is length of game. And in the postseason, you're adding a minute per half inning. So you're adding 17 minutes, right? Ads-wise, and then they more BS probably. But so what is baseball going to do about this? And I found the answer this week talking to Falvey and a couple other people. Nothing. There's nothing that can be done. And here's why. I watched the Giants as many innings the last 2 months of the season as I watched the Twins. I was fascinated by how they were doing this. But so now you go, now I start looking. I want to do a thing for Sunday on, you know, what are the when I saw Falvey that day at Target Field, were you there? Were you when he had half hour session?
Yep.
Last home game.
Yep.
And when he was leaving, I just sidled over to him and said, you know, there's hope for next year because the San Francisco Giants proved there's always hope because it was a miracle. And he said it was a miracle. And he, you know, the extraordinary success they had getting out of players, you know, Darren Ruff, Lamont Wade Jr., Mike Yastrzemski, who's buried in Double A now. He hadn't had a hit in about the last month. And Lamont really cooled off, too. But Wilmer Flores and Solano. And then all of a sudden, you know, Buster, who didn't even play last year. And
Crawford came back.
Crawford was their star at 34. And
yep. So he dropped off. Yep.
So I talked to Falvey again Friday. And he said, Brandon Crawford, they completely changed his bat path at age 34. He can play. He changed how he swings the bat. They changed him. He says Lamont Wade, he admits, looked like a different human being, standing straight up, waiting for a pitch to hit. But so now I look into this more, right? The whole thing with the Giants, first of all, 2019, they brought in this guy who was recently as 10 years ago, was a high school coach as their hitting coach. And they brought in three assistant hitting coaches who are all into the science and technology of hitting and how you're changing. So I had a long, talk with Falvey this spring, quite a while, about how pitching has always been easier to teach. Well, pitching is easier to teach because it's easier to pitch than it is to hit a baseball, right?
Right.
But I talked about analytically way ahead of hitting because, you know, pitching, you can change your mechanic and get them to, you can get them to emphasize, okay, you're throwing 30% sliders and 10% changeups and 60% fastballs. And your slider, they're hitting 180 off. Mm-hmm. And the next thing you know, they got a guy with a little change of sliders. Maybe they get him two different sliders and he's throwing 60% sliders. These guys, you know, so they've done that, but they've changed the mechanics. You know, they got the machine that studies body structure to get the maximum. And I didn't get into this with them, but I've read about it a little bit, how there's like 100% efficiency with the scientists, the computer guys, the research and development department, which is, I mean, they got guys who could be working for Ford Motor Company designing automobiles, but they're designing baseball players, you know, right?
Right.
I mean, they're trying to redesign baseball players. And it's always worked better for pitching. They've added velocity. They've changed pitch selection. They've made your slider go like this Logan Webb. Mm-hmm. He used to pitch north and south. Now he pitches east and west, you know, with his breaking. I mean, they just, okay, don't throw this overhand curve, throw this slider, you know?
Right.
But hitting has always been way behind, but now hitting is, they're all into the hitting and the changing bat pass and getting the maximum. And supposedly the Giants were taking this raw hitter, Lamont Wade, say, and they were able to get like 91% of full efficiency out of what they saw in his body.
Right.
And, you know, they saw his talents as a player. And, you know, I mean, it's getting crazy. But the Giants' theory, which is not the same as Houston's, by the way, because there's two different ways to skin the old cat. But the Giants' theory is, Swing to do damage. The double in the gap at that ballpark, the home run, the ball. Swing to do damage. And I saw a quote from a guy named Mauricio Dubon, who is a backup outfielder, who only spent half the season there and didn't do much. And he didn't hit for a lot of power. But his quote was, in spring training, basically, I don't swing unless I can hit it out. Unless it's a pitch I can hit out.
Wow.
So, and then there was a lot of other stuff about, you know, they led the league and I think they led the National League in home runs and were second only to Houston, Tampa or somebody with this collection of, in a big ballpark.
Right.
In this collection. So what I'm telling you is, in modern baseball, oh, by the way, the Twins, who have computer printouts, and everybody else team does, and long study sessions on every hitter. Every hitter. If you got 13 players on the roster, and usually it takes place before a series, but it's also refreshed. But this guy does not hit sliders low and away. Well, no kidding. Nobody else says it. But he also is vulnerable up here. So every pitch is thrown, either changeup, fastball, slider, or whatever they are. Every pitch is thrown to a specific area with a specific break on it. I mean, every pitch is analyzed. That's why these nobody's Fergie Jenkins throwing the little diver over the knees and getting the game over in 1 hour and 58 minutes. You know, just taking the ground balls where you can get them. So you got pitchers more than willing to go to 3-2 count on everybody trying to at 2-2. You know, they used to say this is the decision making pitch, right? They're still trying to make the perfect pitch at 2-2. It's not a get it over pitch. There's no get it over pitches. And then you got hitters now who aren't going to swing. I mean, when they get two strikes, obviously they have to. But even on a 3-1 count, if it's going to be a strike, but it's not a pitch that you can drive, right, they're going to take it. Then you're going to be 3-2. And then, of course, the other thing, I didn't talk to anybody about this, but the art of foul balls, too. The art of wasting pitches and waiting for that. You know, there's pitches that, like, the pitch a little bit away. They used to try to hit that the left field, let's say, if you're a left-handed hitter. Now they waste it, waiting for the. So what I'm trying to tell you is we got no hope for.
So basically,
we got no hope for old. But every pitch thrown in a baseball game,
yeah,
and every swing taken in a baseball game,
yep,
is calculated. You know, they used to talk about guess hitters. Now it's educated guess hitters. You know, right, you're guessing because of this guy's pattern and some computer before the game that if he's 3-2 against a right-handed hitter, he's going to throw a slider 58% of the time or 62% of the time. But then the Twins got four of these guys hanging out in the clubhouse.
It's become the scientific experiment of pitching versus the scientific experiment of hitting.
Hitting, and the hitters were being overwhelmed,
right,
with the technology. Pitchers were improving at a much faster rate than hitters, right? So the other thing is, we had a higher percentage of stolen bases than any time in history this year. Any time in history, 72%. Well, A, nobody steals bases. And B, the catchers, they would rather have the catcher steal a strike than throw a guy out.
Yes.
Because so they got him down there with their crotch open.
Yep.
On one leg.
It's ridiculous.
Letting the ball wild. Stealing two strikes or three strikes a game is deemed to be more important.
Yes.
Than giving up stolen bases or not blocking the ball.
Mm-hmm.
So I think one advantage of the electronic strike zone would be that part of the game, you know, the catcher would be catching again.
Yes.
Right? Would be a catcher. But I mean, I was looking up all this stuff and then talking just to Falvey for 20 minutes is all. But looking up guys who know what the hell they're talking about, you know, then I talked to Parker Eggman for a few minutes too, cause he's my go-to what the hell's going on here guy. And he's more of a pitching guy than a hitting guy. But what I'm trying to say is this is what they're going to be selling us forever. There's nothing they can do. There's nothing they can do to slow the analytic train. I think some people thought maybe the analytic train. I mean, you found out about the analytic train. Mike Schlitt got fired because he wasn't fully on board with the all of his coaches are staying. He didn't get along with some of his coaches who believed more in analytics than he does. He thought there was a personal element to it.
Mm-hmm.
Some decisions could be made by the seat of your pants rather than
numbers. No.
That's why he got fired. He didn't get along. They also hired a hitting coach in 18, I believe, a guy named Jeff Albert, who's one of these. He comes out on one of those academies or something. And this guy, they didn't get along. And he didn't, you know. So you win 17 in a row and you get fired.
So the Twins are going to bring in, what, a college of coaches?
They're going to
for hitting?
My guess would be Rudy stays because Rudy has a great relationship with several hitters.
Yeah.
You know, and he's bilingual and he can talk to the, you know, Sano loves him and some of, you know, some of the guys. And, I mean, it's not just the Latin guys either. I mean, Rudy's good. And Rudy can talk old-time hitting with him. But they're going to get, I mean, they basically told us, you know, somebody asked, is it important to have a former big leaguer? It could surprise me, but I think it's important to them not to have a former big leaguer.
I think you're right.
I think it's important to them is have a guy that's been at one of these hitting laboratories. Wes Johnson, I mean, he came out of college, but a hitting guru like they have in fact, I would bet the Giants are going to get raided with a couple of their assistants, you know, the technician. They don't call them scientists, but they're hitting technicians.
Like in lab coats.
Yeah, it is. It's unbelievable.
Dreaming up the perfect
hitter. It's unbelievable.
Hitter.
I found out that I didn't realize this. The Twins have a hitting lounge. They had it when Rousen was here a couple of years ago, who did a good job and was really good at explaining. But before every series, they're in there for an hour and a half with chalkboards, blackboards, video boards, and you're going through every pitcher on the other team. This is what his slider does. This is when he throws it.
Okay.
I mean, it's you know, as I said to Falvey, so you're telling me Gaetti and Herbeck sitting in the back room drinking Wild Turkey and saying, see the ball, hit the ball.
And smoking.
Is not the future of baseball. See the ball, hit the ball is not the future of baseball.
I don't understand how going that far is good for the sport.
No, it's not. It's not. But you can't slow it down. Everybody, I mean, they just fired Schlitt. The Mets can't find anybody to take the general manager's job because they don't know who's gonna. They want to have a compliant manager before they can. You know, the general manager who's all in on this stuff. That's why Molitor got fired. There's no comparison between Baldelli and Molitor as far as baseball knowledge. Molitor is like one of the genius players in the history of the game.
Yes.
And I'm not saying this because I like him, because I like Rocco too, and I certainly miss Molly's quotes, but Molitor thought, probably like Schlitt, although I don't think you can make that comparison because their backgrounds are so different, but that there was a human element. The human element was endangered 5 years ago. I think it's gone. I think it's gone. Those guys upstairs that are assigned to be hang around in the clubhouse. We haven't been in the clubhouse to see these
2 years.
You know, for 2 years to see these guys walking around.
Right, and they love
it. But I told you, and you've been in spring training. I told you in spring training, if you get in the elevator with one of those guys with the iPads who you don't know and say hello, they won't even say hello back because they're afraid you're going to attempt to start a conversation and ask them what they do. You know, they don't want you to know what they do. I have no idea who these guys are.
Right. Well, and I know that the year of the pandemic that they actually stuck them in a suite and that there was just a suite full of these people who are like baseball cyborgs, you know, trying to break things down.
Well, they call it research and development.
Yeah.
That's what we had when we were inventing intercontinental ballistic missiles, you know, research and development. And that's what they call it. And, you know, they fired Edgar Varela because he came out of the organization. Falvey's quote was, there's been more information on hitting through these studies. They got the force plates and they got the same stuff for hitters. There's been more information in the last 12 months than there was like in the decade beforehand while pitching was getting so much better.
So we're now going to see teams sign hitters off the scrap heap like we have pitchers for the past 3 to 5 years based on like Lamont Wade has more to give.
Yes.
You don't know how to find it, but I can find it.
Yes, more to give is right. But how they decide he has now in his defense, now maybe
because soccer for me, Pat. See ya.
One reason I heard the Twins decided to trade him was he was going to his hitting coach at the University of Maryland and spend the winter with him and change. He wanted to change. He wanted to become more of a power hitter, and I don't think they thought it was there, you know, before he became late night Lamont. But they didn't, you know, it's not like they screwed up. I mean, who anticipated this was possible?
Yeah, but that's the whole thing about these studies, right? These people are supposed to anticipate it before the other guy anticipates
it. Yes, except they probably, the Giants were a little ahead of everybody on the genius meter, you know?
Well, you're right about one thing.
They won that team, that collection, won more games than any team in the history of the New York San Francisco Giants. And it is not possible when you, their over and under in Vegas was 74.5. Mm-hmm. They went down to a fifth game of the NLCS with a Dodger team that played fully to expectations and was in Vegas projected to win 28 more games than they were. So it's now my prediction for the Giants of next year, 76-86.
They're back to
them. It's you know, the because it appeared to me that the adjustment was coming around on Yastrzemski. I mean, he was terrible down the stretch. Lamont had a couple of hits.
Yeah.
But and he could have been the hero.
So is Gabe Kapler good or is this all thrust upon
Gabe Kapler is all in, and he's the other thing is most boring quotes in a
he ties Rocco
for most boring quotes. But he learned his lesson in Philadelphia. He probably said he probably offered some real opinions, and that got him in trouble. Now you just say the most bland things you can say, and when the analytics people come to you and say, we think this should be your lineup tonight because you say, you know, that looks pretty damn good to me.
So do these guys manage? Because we don't know.
No, I mean,
but I mean, does Rocco? How much can Rocco be blamed?
Yeah, but
either
way,
good or bad.
And here's what I don't know. Okay, the guy on. Are we going to send the runner? I don't know if that's a big analytical discussion or not. That's probably there's got to be some.
Okay,
that's kind of fairly spontaneous, right? I mean, you have to, but beyond that, and I mean, Dave Roberts admitted. He started Knievel in game 5 because the analytics guys in the upstairs told him. He said that decision came from the tippy top of the organization.
That happened last year too, right?
Yeah.
I think they were playing, or 2 years ago, they were playing the Brewers. And he did the same thing, and it came from above him.
Tippy top, he said, the tippy top of the organization.
It's the same thing.
You get a crusty old baseball man like Dave Roberts, and he could say, okay, these guys, I'm going to end up like Mike Schilt if I fight this. Mm-hmm. Or I can manage a team with a $250 million payroll that even could lose 2 of its ace pitchers and is still better than everybody else. So I think I'll keep my job and listen to these guys. I don't know who's it. It's, you know, it's like riding out a... In a smaller way, it's like riding out a boss you can't, you know, you disagree with. You just keep your mouth shut. And
so what happens if you go hire Molly, TK, just put together an old school staff with a good roster? What happens?
LaRussa.
But I'm saying, could you defeat? The only way to win this battle partially is to defeat it and show it can be defeated.
Yeah, that's true. And I will say this now. Season's over. when I went out and had a long talk with TK, and the day that LaRussa was calling him when I was leaving, he said, the guys I talk to in baseball who have come from my generation say we should be rooting for LaRussa. We should be rooting for him because he still believes in starting pitchers.
Yep.
He still believes in, you know, sending runner. He still believes, you know, he's not anti-analytics, but he was anti-all analytics. And he said, DK said, we should be rooting for LaRussa because it would be a triumph for not old-style baseball, but it would be a triumph for at least a mix of it. And by the way, the idea that the Twins are going to play a little more, the idea we're going to get away from everybody trying to hit home runs. I mean, Valley, again, I could use all this, but he said, listen, as good as these pitchers are now, he said, the odds of getting three straight hits, the odds of getting three or four straight hits and scoring a couple of runs are not nearly as good as getting a walk in air and having some guy hit one out of the ballpark. So, and he pointed out, I don't know if it's still the same, but the number used seemed large, so I didn't use it. But since 18, did he say, the team that hits the more home runs in the postseason is 71-14
or something.
It was
like 71-11, Pat. Yeah,
71-11.
Okay. Yeah. Yep.
71-11. I didn't want to count up the games, but 71-11.
I think that was going into like game four of the Dodgers Giants.
This year it's 13-1. Mm-hmm. And I looked it up yesterday, and a couple of the games that, like, when the Red Sox hit two grand slams, the other team hit two home runs, too.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I don't know. Is that stat how many runs
just,
those?
Just
those
home runs. Run? Just home
just
runs.
Just the number of home runs.
Yes.
I was wondering
not
if
the
it,
RB, yeah.
I thought it was the number of home runs those home runs produced. But, okay, so, yeah, I mean, it's yeah, 71-11 and 13-1 this year. If you hit more, if you hit two and they hit one,
right,
you're going to win
85%
of the time. So that's why we got Aaron Sabato or whatever the hell his name is, the next right. coming of Sano.
Now, here's my concern. Do they have the ability to identify the correct talent to do this?
Well, they did 2 years ago, and they didn't this year. So.
Yeah. Well, and 2 years ago, though, the thing about 2 years ago is the last time that we got in that clubhouse, I will say this, they were a good team. But they actually did have chemistry. It actually seemed to be working. And the team that they put together, was it in 17, Pat? There was yeah. a collection, the collection of Lance Lynn, Lomo.
Well, that was 18, wasn't it? That was the bad. That was
that,
the bad.
But that team
17, they
had
pretty,
no chemistry.
That was 18.
18, okay. That team had no chemistry.
17, they made the wild card game.
That's right.
And then
yeah,
Paul was manager of the year, and then they thought they had a shot.
18,
so
they dipped out.
They signed Lynn and they yeah. signed Morrison, and
that
did.
But that place was toxic. That clubhouse was toxic in 18.
Well, those two guys spent all their time complaining about their
yeah,
contracts.
They,
apparently,
now, they had what Zach Day and who was the relief? Oh, Reed.
And
he's a jerk.
The interesting thing was LaRussa saying. Lance Lynn might be the greatest teammate I've ever seen in all my years.
Yeah, that's right.
Because he's got a contract.
Yeah.
I mean, that's always true.
Yeah.
Everyone's
Randy
happy
Moss.
When they're getting millions.
Randy Moss.
Yes.
Chili, he ran Randy Moss out of here. No, not paying him ran Randy
well,
Moss
yeah,
out of
which
here.
Is a Vikings problem. Find out that he wants the contract
yes.
before you trade
well,
for him
you
so you don't
did.
Trade for him.
Because it was out
well,
in
that
public.
That was a Spielman special.
It was out in public that the Patriots were getting rid of him because he turned into a pouting jackass because they wouldn't give him a new contract.
Yeah, yeah that's
so
why Belichick
gonna,
got rid of him.
Now you're going to bring him in here and think, oh, okay, kumbaya. He'll
right.
be happy to be back in Minnesota.
But if you're going
to
run,
not if you're not going to pay him.
But if you're going to run these experiments as a front office, you have to number one be better at identifying the talent to bring in to run the experiment on mm-hmm. than the next guy.
Yep. Maybe the only solution, Chud, is you start the game, and you have five pitchers out in the bullpen. That's it.
Well, you're not wrong about that.
If you get struck by lightning and two of them die, the other three going to have to pitch. You got five guys there. Everybody else has to go sit in the clubhouse. You can't come. You can't even talk to them.
Can't use them?
Can't use them. Can't talk. There's five pitchers. If you play 17 innings, tough bananas, you know.
Last night, I think I counted 15 pitchers between the two teams.
Yes.
Wow.
Yeah. Well, that's been happening.
Eight and, yeah.
Even the, just think how bad it would be. Here's the other thing. The wild card game. You cannot allow them to have 26 player rosters for the wild card game because you can have 14 non-starting pitchers on. You can have a 13-man bullpen.
Right. What they need to do, but you're on to the most important thing, because what baseball needs to do is not take away the new school, but it's to suppress it a bit. And here's where an easy change, because it's a safety thing. Catchers have to squat.
Yeah.
You cannot kneel. You cannot get down on a shin guard. And if you can't squat, then you can't play catcher.
If a catcher gets hit in the groin with a foul ball, the runner gets a double or something like that.
If your catcher cannot continue, he is out of the game and you can't replace him. You're just going to throw the ball at the umpire.
Yes, right.
But, I mean, think about it. That would not be that hard for safety concerns to say catchers must squat.
Yeah. Well, I don't know. It didn't seem like the electronic strike zone received as much conversation this year, did it? Is it ran out of steam or what?
I don't know. But I am so sick of these guys, of catchers jerking the ball around the zone. And then people saying they're good at that's not framing. They're relocating the baseball.
Yes.
If I was an umpire, I would say if I see your glove move X amount, it's a ball.
Yes. Yeah, well, they should stop giving them credit for it.
I would penalize catchers that move the ball.
I will say, the other day, Will Smith, I saw that. He managed to not move the glove, but still move the ball.
But that's credit to him.
Yeah.
But we have these guys now that take a ball that's low and outside, they catch it, and then they bring it up.
Yeah.
That's BS.
Yeah. I mean, when you get that much of a movement. Well, one of the problems is you got umpires built like me, and the old guys can't bend over to get down and see what's going on. They call it from the catcher's helmet, not from seeing what's going on below them.
Yep.
You know what? I really think, not all of them, but the accuracy is probably higher, certainly higher than it was when you didn't have the Fox box.
Right, and every catcher knows where that box is, and that's where they're bringing the ball back into.
But,
the middle of it.
I mean, back when the umpires, it was probably a better game when we didn't have the box, and umpire had his own strike zone. Hey, be swinging, boys. I got a plane to catch. Now you do that, you end up getting called to the office. Boy, the Gabe Morales thing died in a hurry, didn't we? I think, isn't that one where MLB has to issue a statement that we screwed it up?
Who knows? I don't know. Yeah, that got about a day of play.
Yeah.
That is also indicative of the problem of baseball.
Yeah.
Because that means not enough people cared.
Yes. But here's the deal.
In football?
We need the Mike Pereira of baseball in the postseason. We need the old ump who says, I don't know what game.
But think about if a wild card football game ended on the equivalent call of that.
Yeah.
That would be an ESPN talking point for a week.
Yeah, even though Scherzer was going to probably strike him out on the next
doesn't matter.
Pitch. No, it doesn't.
Because people like to talk about that sort of thing, and not enough people care.
And it was so egregious that it should be talked about,
Yes.
But I think I already told you this. 2015, one of Gabe's first ejections, he was still a part-time umpire.
You should have texted Paul about that one.
Molly in a Sano check swing in a game in the ninth inning in New York, 0-2 count. What I think that, Manfred came out and suggested that the 10th inning thing was going to end. I'm wondering if it can. I mean, I don't like it, but I'm wondering if it can.
I think,
can you,
no,
because these 12-inning games,
yes.
Rob, You know, back in the day, to go 5 hours, you had to play 14 or 50.
Yes.
If you play 12, it's going to be 5 hours.
Yes, it will be.
Mm-hmm.
I am convinced that what Rob said was just glossing over the fact that coming out of the work stoppage, a lot of these rules are going to be still in place. Because, like, Rob's like,
well,
yeah,
he said the opposite.
No, he did. But what I'm saying is he ignored the fact that the work stoppage is going to cause change.
Yeah, but the seven inning doubleheaders are gone.
They're probably gone. But I think the tenth thing's not gone.
My theory is it might be the twelfth. My theory is it should be the 11th.
It might
12th,
be, but it's going to survive
one,
in some
give
form.
One more, yes,
it's going to. Yeah.
Otherwise, This is a nice nine-inning ball game. Fun. 356.
Yep.
356. You can watch movies and then come back and...
Gone with the Wind.
Mm-hmm.
Not just movies.
No, I mean...
With intermissions.
You watch the start of the game.
Yeah.
Then you watch Gone with the Wind, and then you come back and it's the eighth.
Yep.
Right?
Football games start and end now
within
the time that a baseball game takes.
Although that Green Bay game took 3 weeks yesterday. God almighty. I was watching Pittsburgh and Seattle last night. Why? They both stink.
Because it's football.
They both stink.
Because it's football, and I don't watch 356 of baseball.
No, that was, well, I will say I watched, during the middle of the game, I watched an episode of Baptiste on Masterpiece Theater.
Yep.
It took an hour, and I missed like an inning and a half.
You missed like three pitches.
Yeah, I missed like an inning and a half. Came back. And by the way, I got to get a hold of my old pal Dan Cook, who's on Chad's crew at CCO.
Yeah, great guy.
Cookie. Great guy. He and I both loved Wallander, the Kenneth Branagh Swedish... I think he was Swedish detective it was the most depressing stuff of all time. And then the last year they gave him Alzheimer's.
Oh, just to add it on.
We always said we'd exchange. Hey, now he's got Alzheimer's. It's great.
It wasn't dark enough.
Well, I got to get it. He texted me a month ago. So you got any good depressed European detectives? And I forgot to tell him about Baptiste. He's a French, or I don't know, Swedish, or not Swedish, but he's either French or Swiss or something. But a very troubled man. But now we've killed off his daughter. We've got him completely insane, and we're coming back from 14. We go in between 14 months earlier and the present day. And it's horribly depressing, and I got to get a hold of him and say, if you're looking for one,
if you're trying times,
this one's got great potential to basically make you feel bad about life in general, you know. So anyway,
by the way, did you see the St. Cloud screw job against the Gophers on Saturday?
Oh, we hosed them, huh?
The Gophers, Declan, tell Pat what happened.
Pat, so it was overtime in the St. Cloud game up north. And
Yes. There's
a play at the behind St. Cloud's cage in OT. McLaughlin takes Jackson Prebix of St. Cloud with his stick and even with his hand, drags him and spins him to the ground.
Mm-hmm.
McLaughlin looks at the referee, basically knowing like I'm about to be called here, right? Like that was pretty obvious. I just dragged him to the ground.
Mm-hmm.
The referees don't say anything. McLaughlin takes the puck, passes it to a Gopher player. They score an overtime game over.
Oh, man.
And now...
How did Brett Larson take it?
Furious.
Not well.
Okay.
Josh Fenton, the NCHC commissioner, Pat, had to issue a statement on Sunday saying, that should have been a penalty. You know it's bad if the commissioner has to come out and release a press release saying that, hey, we missed this call.
Who did we have on the whistles? It's not
NCHC,
like
NCHC. We're the refereeing crew.
It's not like the old days when the Gophers, there were like four refereeing crews and we knew who all their names were, you know, the same.
This was
most of the guys were from South St. Paul.
Yeah. No, This is St. Cloud's conference. Their own official screwed them against the Big Ten team.
I read something about it just briefly. We didn't cover that game. We covered the Friday game, but apparently St. Cloud's too far to go to cover.
That's quite a hype.
A beat person can't make it all the way up to St. Cloud. It's, you know, hell, it takes you an hour and 15 minutes.
Hour 15,
if you don't.
And then the Gophers, though, Pat, are saying, well, the St. Cloud player dove. It was embellishment. Which?
Oh, even Motzko wouldn't be honest?
No.
Even a loyal St. Cloud guy was
but
there
16
years.
You should have called him for both. Just call both the penalties, send them to the box, and the game still goes on. In this case, they completely screwed him.
Wow.
It and Micheletti and Jim Rich
apoplectic.
And Mark Parrish went nuts.
Okay, really?
Apoplectic.
They were on the St. Cloud broadcast, or what?
Yes.
Okay. So what we got here was the St. Cloud broadcast?
Yeah, on Fox 9 Plus,
it was
right?
on Fox 9 Plus. The student, the TV-run station up there, Pat, the student station, UTVS, does the games for them. So they produce it, but they have talent like Jim Rich and Pat Micheletti and Parrish.
Okay, because we didn't
call the games.
BSN had other duties. BSN had the Wild.
They had the Wild. And
how about... I think we've talked about this, but how about our Wild? Yep. Our Wild with huge expectations.
Yep. Right.
Biggest expectations we've had since when?
Oh, since...
Since they signed Parise Suter,
like 2015 or something.
After last year's very promising year, and you got your first superstar ever.
Mm-hmm.
Nobody could. I had to call. I had to text Judd and say, "What the hell's going on?" I've tried BSN and I've tried NHL Network and I've tried ESPN.
At least you found it.
I've tried ESPN. I said, "Where the hell is the game?" And he said, "ESPN Plus." I said, "I'm not buying ESPN Plus game, but it was on Hulu."
Yeah, but you know what? Hulu Live, which I found out of all the crap Dawn gets, she doesn't get that one.
Okay, Hulu's like the third. We got Netflix.
Prime,
and then Katie's found some show on Hulu she likes, so I don't know what it even cost me a month, but we got
Hulu Live.
We got Hulu as an app. Now, Hulu as an app is as dishonest as Amazon is as an app, because two-thirds of the stuff on Amazon now, once you get it, wants you to buy it, right?
I don't know.
They
sure.
want you to buy it.
I know what you mean.
They want
yep.
you to buy stuff.
Yep.
Netflix, at least, is anything you find on Netflix you get for free,
but you
don't get sports events. But when I turned on Hulu, there it was, St. Cloud, Minnesota hockey game. Mm-hmm. So,
Pat, are you in on Succession on HBO?
No, but my wife is dedicated.
Great. I love it. I'm so
she
excited
loves it,
back.
But I it's the same thing. I've watched a couple of them. They're all fighting to get dad's money. It's I don't know.
I love Brian Cox in this show.
Brian
is phenomenal.
Cox is,
I mean, he's
wonderful.
One of the best.
Brian Cox was. Brian Cox made the Bourne movies when he was in it. You know, the one Bourne movie when he was in
now,
it.
Now Declan did say that the ESPN Plus telecast on Friday was absolutely fine.
Oh God, she was great.
I heard a lot of. I saw lots of disparaging comments on Twitter.
I didn't think it was bad.
She needed a greenie. She needed
like a 1975 shortstop.
She would raise her voice when something happened, but the rest of the game, it was like,
I see.
I thought I was listening to the classical music station at
low key.
Yeah, very low key, very low key. She's a Hextall, huh?
Yeah,
she's cousins.
Which just a cousin
with Ron? Yeah,
yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Ron.
He was on the call for that.
Dennis.
Four overtime game with Duluth and was it UND this spring in the regional championship games?
Mm-hmm. I want my LaPanta and my
you want
and my
the,
Carter.
You want the rant? So it would have been interesting to see who does Gopher TV now, Frank and
No. Ben Clymer and Gorg does some analysis. Ben Clymer does
to
a
Gorg?
Bunch. What do you mean?
Didn't see him in any baseball this year.
He doesn't do that now. He does Wild sideline stuff. He does Gopher hockey analysis occasionally. He's off baseball because I think they've got enough people to do baseball now. But who's the play-by-play guy on Bally's? It's a young guy.
I don't know who he is. Charlie.
So Frank and Wally do radio, though, right?
They do radio, yes.
Okay. All right. I wonder how the Gophers would have framed that call, that controversy.
My guess is Frank. That's a good question. Mm-hmm. Frank's pretty, you know, Frank's upfront about things.
Oh, Frank and Wally are good.
A bad call.
Frank and Wally are good.
Oh, they're the best.
Albie would have gone nuts.
Yeah. Even if it was against.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Albie would have.
Yes, he believed.
He didn't care.
He believed he was in the fairness of hockey.
Yes, he did.
I always remember Albie sitting in the press box, though, and he had a little sign above him. Give the score. Because everybody thought he was the greatest announcer ever. But, wow, Al, what's the score?
Good for Al.
But now, I think it's a strategy on radio not to give the score. For the guys that, like me, who turn it on just to see what the score is, and then are going to go do something else. But if you don't give me the score, I got to listen to 5 minutes.
Withholding it on purpose.
Yeah, withholding
egg
on timer. Purpose.
Egg timer's the key.
Wally, I don't think. I mean, Al didn't do that. Al's still with us. I got to call him up one of these days.
Yeah, he's 90-something now.
Yeah.
And I think he's still, because Shirley passed away, I think, but I think he's still,
he's on Vancouver Island. He's living in a, I talked to Wally a couple of times. He's living in a, I think, a senior complex, but not assisted living.
What a smart man.
Oh, God.
North Stars moved. He did Gophers for, what, 2 or 3 years?
Yeah.
And then they moved.
Yeah.
And he just retired and started to do, like, community theater. And he's like, I'm done.
Yeah. Oh, God. He was
Try and stick around.
And he was smart enough to quit baseball, too. They brought him in to do baseball. Remember that year? And it lasted.
No, it's before my time. But
it was lasted for about a month. And he said, I'm not good at this. I'm not going to do it.
He did do, I think he did the kicks on KSTP in the day.
Yeah,
he did baseball. And
they had Frank Beauty doing the kicks, too. And Frank knew as much about soccer as me.
Did the Twins? Ray Christensen for a while, right?
Oh, yeah. Ray was not a good baseball announcer.
Al? Because Al was popular. People loved Al, so they stuck him on Twins
games.
Yeah,
but it didn't last long.
No.
And he didn't.
No, because he's smart.
Didn't last.
He was probably bored back then, and the games were done in 2:31.
Yeah, right.
Imagine Al now as a 4-hour, 30-minute snoozer.
Yeah, I think it was just Al saying, I'm not good at this, you know.
Well, plus, he traveled for... Mm-hmm. The North Stars.
Who were Herbie's partners? So Ray Scott left, and then...
Merle Harmon
was good, great. They're very good.
And then Merle Harmon left for, like, the Brewers, I think, national stuff.
He became the main Brewers announcer, yeah. And then...
And then I thought they
brought
in
Ray. Great Larry Kelton for 1 year, right? Larry Kelton.
Yeah, what was Larry Kelton's promise to Calvin?
He had to draw a million people or something.
Which they didn't come close to, right?
No, but... Danny Walton damn near killed him in a bus one day. I remember that. Danny.
What did Larry do?
Larry made some smart aleck remark that involved marital.
Oh, a touchy
situation.
Okay.
Yeah. So Danny just was going to kill him.
That's not good.
But
that's the 70s, but it's not good.
No, we used to get on the buses, but if we wanted to, but you were smart enough to
keep your mouth shut,
stay up in front and whisper to the manager, you know.
Yeah.
But generally speaking, but Larry wasn't. Larry'd go back and mingle.
So it was, so it was Merle Harmon, Al for a brief period, Ray Christensen. When did Quillacy come along? Oh, No. Joe McConnell did some.
Joe McConnell
did some Twins, and then I think it was Quillacy.
Yes, Joe McConnell did. And then Frank, after he got fired the next year, right? 75.
Yeah. Yeah, that was your famous line to Frank in Seattle.
Frank, first,
Rick Honeycutt.
Honeycutt was pitching.
Don't get it wrong.
Frank, God, it would be embarrassing if you come right out. And the first thing you say is not Rick Honeycutt. And he said, yo.
Which is the greatest, because I don't think Quillacy swore that much.
No.
So to get him ticked off is great.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. He was a wonderful guy. And he was basically the main reason that... Monday Night Sports Talk became a big success when the Q Man used to call in when Greg Harrington's Q Man used to call in and talk about machismo. It was
so good.
I think Neil might have been his first or Louis or Neil were his first impressions.
That's great too.
His Neil.
He had the
Neil White. But his Frank created the imaginary brother Bill. Bill Quillacy's Frank's imaginary brother who got it. You've heard it. He got in with Larry King one night. Called Larry King.
I think, yeah.
He got it. This is Bill Quillacy. Frank's imaginary brother and Larry, and he's going to say, all right, Larry. He said, no. Larry says, come on, we got to talk about this. If you're imaginary, how can you be, you know? And Larry used to having wackos at that time of night.
Yes.
Engaged him in conversation.
Oh, did he really? Okay.
Yeah, and he kind of threw Bill off his game because Bill.
That was a great show.
Yeah, it was about
San Antonio, Texas. Go ahead.
Oh, Larry. Well, yeah, we had. That was our. What was midnight show, right?
Yeah.
That was our midnight show. It was great.
Yep.
And then Art, the guy who preceded Art Bell.
Yes.
There was Art Bell, and then somebody before Art was like, there's aliens out there and look out for them. Art was great, too. Art was, yeah. West of the Mississippi. All right, Art. Yeah, I think what ended Art was when the world continued after the end of the millennium, right?
Y2K?
I think he was a Y2K.
He was very disappointed.
Planes were going to
blow up.
I think planes were going to fall.
Computers were
going to
crash.
The planes were going to be flying and go.
Yep.
So
that was one of the damnedest things to come. Theories to come up.
Yeah. Bob Davis, you know, ran the board for Art, and Bob, it like screwed up his brain, and before Y2K. You know, he's great. I was on the air with him calling in for a couple of years, morning guy, just a goofy right winger, but out from another planet. But he's just like got in his car and drove around the country for 6 months before Y2K because he wanted to see it before the world ended. He was a big
oh,
believer.
Boy.
I remember one thing I remember about him is he went to one NBA game. Well, one time I'm talking to him about the Ryder Cup for about 8 minutes, and he said, is that basketball, you know, or something like that, you know. But anyway, but he went to, some gal took him to one basketball game, and it was the night the Timberwolves gave up 140 to Phoenix right before Flip got fired. Mm-hmm. Remember that they just had a layup drill? And that's when 140 was meant something. And he said, I couldn't believe it. I thought the scoreboard was broke. Every time I looked up there, it was like one team had 110 and the other had 56. Or I kept saying, is that thing broke up there? He didn't know what he was watching. So, he was a beauty. All right.
Hey, wait. Happy birthday.
Oh, thank you.
76?
76. 76 trombones.
And what was your remark on Twitter? Your one goal is 77?
Yeah, my goal for next year, 77. 77 is my one goal for next year. By the way, there's supposed to be, and this will thrill gopher holers and others out there, there's supposed to be a new 2-year contract in the mail starting January 1.
Well, congratulations.
Yeah, so I'm going
to sign. Although Suhan beat you to the Fleck punch this time.
Oh.
So he's got the scrutiny now.
Yeah, okay.
His Fleck piece in Monday's paper did not shockingly go over well with the Gopher Holes.
Okay, well.
I know you'd be surprised.
Well. He was, what was that? He was, you know what?
I guess Scott Frost, he's still ticked off
at
Frost.
I thought Jerry Kill was I like Kill, I get along with him, I can call Kill, but just incredibly thin skinned.
Yeah.
And this guy might be worse.
No, he is worse.
This guy might
he
be
is
worse.
Equally, if not worse.
Now, apparently he gave Justin Guard some really weird post-game interview where he like jumped him or not. I mean, like.
Really?
Very. Feisty or
well, he was
defiant.
Mad about the Scott Frost thing from Big Ten Media Day, but what's weird about it is it sort of came out like he was mad at everybody, and you're not mad at, you know.
Yeah. Well, then he talked about his wife, right?
I didn't see that part of it. I saw one clip.
Mentioned his wife or something. But
I don't know.
See, they were mad when her Instagram
post I heard about this.
Ripping select Gopher fans after the Bowling Green game.
Yes.
Which they put on Gopher Hole initially, and she got killed.
Yep.
And then Gopher Hole, being the wimps that they are, somebody from the U called them, because she removed it from her Instagram, and talked them into taking it off.
Yep.
You know, even though it was a big talker.
And then she
for
claimed
them.
It was copied verbatim from another coach's wife's Instagram post. And yeah, it's a weird story.
It wasn't. It was specific to stuff. I mean,
I think it also ripped one coach.
Really?
I think she also said she didn't name the person, but I think she also ripped one coach. Uh-huh. But yeah, he is for a Division I football coach. Oh boy.
Yeah, maybe he should stay right here.
That's yeah.
Instead of going to Southern Cal or something.
Yeah, exactly. All right. Yeah.
All righty. Let's anyway, the grand old game, just, you know, that's what you do. You watch a couple innings, watch a movie, go back, eighth inning, then you won't complain about how long it is, right?
Exactly right.
Just look on ESPN or someplace for the box score, tells you what you missed.
What I did yesterday.
Play by play, you know, every time you see a score change, you can just go and see how the run was scored. It's great. It's kind of like my theory of watching hockey, you know, watch the power plays, and if you miss a goal, that's okay. Look it up and see who scored it. All right. Next week. If you have questions about your retirement savings, do what I did and work with a person that knows what the heck is going on. Work with Josh Arnold, Mr. Money Talk. My guy Josh will give you straight talk and not sugar-coated advice. Learn how you can benefit from Josh's focused approach by setting up your own no-cost, no-obligation 48-minute consultation to review your investments. Call Josh now, 952-925-5608.